I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What does fellowship with the Father look like? You know, really, the finer points, how does that work? And so we're going to start off. We're going to explore this today. Start with a clarification on the definitions of relationship and fellowship, all right? In the broad sense, relationship is what we are to one another, while fellowship is what we share with one another, okay? Another way to say this would be relationship is the nature of our connection, while fellowship is the expression of our connection. You get it? A little bit different there. So to give you an example, a married relationship is what makes us husbands and wives. But married fellowship is what makes us go on dinner dates and do our taxes and agree to being in this photo, right? That is only the fellowship. That is one way to express your relationship there. And all of us, as self-aware individuals who all exist in a community of a bunch of others, we can't help but connect to everyone in creation by relation. Right? Like, how do they relate to us? That's how we know other people. And then we give them labels. We label everybody from bosses, buddies, enemies, frenemies, to coaches and caretakers and BEFs and CEOs. And yet, in every single connection, it is up to us what we share and how the relationship gets expressed. Because we may be compelled to connect, which we are. We just can't help it. We have to relate to things, but we are not obligated to engage. Right there, that is where our free will kicks in. You're allowed to be a hermit if you want, because relationships are mandatory, but fellowship is optional. That's the big difference right there. However, there is one weird exception to this rule. Parenting, okay? Parenting, because the bottom line in every parent-kid relationship is, if parents don't engage, kids don't live. That's just how it's built. For mothers and fathers, not sharing is not an option, which means this interesting fact, parenting is the one relationship with forced fellowship. Thanks, God. You don't get a choice. So why is that? That's the curious question of today. Why is it? Why are we forced into fellowship with these little versions of ourselves? And I can't say for certain, but here's what we do know. God created it that way, okay? So it was on purpose. And number two, he calls himself our Father. And based on that information, it seems safe to assume that he wants us to know about the fellowship of fatherhood in some way, because it somehow defines him. And since today is our earthly dad's big day, we're going to explore the fundamentals of fellowship to see what makes their parents, fathers' relationship so special. And then we're going to listen for what God might be trying to tell us by expressing himself as our heavenly Father. Because as our Father, he tells us that listening to fathers is a matter of life and death. Don't you love to hear that, dads? You see where this is going. They better listen to us or die. So here's what we hear. This is what we know from the, you know, from Proverbs, the book of wisdom here. Listen, my sons and daughters, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching, for I too was a son to my father, and he said to me, take hold of my words. With all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Did you memorize it, dads? That's the speech to give to your kids from now on. Listen or die. It's great. But let's keep that command that we're given biblically and try to understand what fellowship is and why God's fellowship is so fatherly as we explore the seven fellowship fundamentals found in fatherhood. Yeah, right? Okay, it's going to be a thing that we all remember. There's a lot of F's in there. I tried to make it so that this is really memorable. The seven fellowship fund. I don't remember it. It's too long. Fellowship found in fatherhood. And first off, fellowship fundamental number one, fellowship is activating. Because fellowship motivates our movement. Just like we said a second ago, remember, fellowship puts our relationships into action. Because as the expression of a relationship, it's what a relationship does, you know? You're married, great, that just means that you're husband and wife, but what do you do that makes you married? It's how the people around you poke and prod and provoke you to get up and live your life in one way or another, right? That's how it's activating you. And I call this the Bobby Rocanello principle. Because, Bobby Rocanello, this guy. In my teen years, it's a real name, isn't that incredible? In my teen years, the father of a good friend used to always tell these epic tales. And as teenagers, we'd sit around and we'd listen to these stories of legendary mischief and exciting escapes and these near-death experiences. And curiously, every single one of his stories involved his best friend, Bobby Rocanello. Because it was always Bobby's big idea that got things going. He'd say stuff like, I heard about this racetrack in Tijuana where you can make bets without an ID. Let's go, right? And here's the key, okay? Because this is the truth. Everybody has or is the Bobby Rocanello that puts action into our lives, right? Right now you're thinking of someone. There's that influence, good or bad influence, but that person who you know if you hang out with them, you might wake up in Tijuana, right? Those are the people, everybody on some level stirs us into action, right? That's part of what fellowship is. I realized in my friend that I was his Bobby Rocanello. He was so well put together, and I kept trying to ruin it with bad ideas anyway. But this fundamental of fellowship takes a different form in fatherhood. Because as much as dads do want to poke and prod and provoke their kids to share in an adventure, dads focus on the outcome of their activity. It's not, you know, not all about coulda, it's more like shoulda. Like, are we supposed to do this? Dads know that they're responsible for the product of the fellowship. So they aim it all at good, right? Making it constructive. And so unsurprisingly, we see that lesson when we listen to God's instruction and we're told, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not toward Tijuana, right? Like this is like, how can we make it good? Use these powers for good. And every good father, including God, wants their fellowship to activate something amazing in their kids because they can see the profound potential that the kids can't. Which is why, number two, fellowship is illuminating, right? Because fellowship increases our awareness. It lets us see things. You ever notice how hard it is to see the back of your own head? You should, I mean, because you can't, right? It's hard to see it. But it's so easy for everybody else to see the back of your head. And that is because a shared perspective is a superior perspective. We know this. This is just scientifically true. Seeing with one eye keeps our perception very shallow because it takes at least two to see something's depth. It increases our perception. And so back when I was 11 years old, I got this sweet haircut. That's me. I know. Okay, well, calm down. I mean, it's okay. It's not a monster. But I got this sweet haircut and 5 pounds of gel to keep it going in the summer before sixth grade. And I thought to myself, we've done it, Noah. We've been planning, and all the girls are gonna see me as the smooth operator that I am. And I was wrong. That is not the sixth grade story that I wish I had. And although I wish that they had been a little bit more gentle, it was actually the fellowship of my friends that made me see things a little bit more clearly. When I showed up on day one and they went, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm looking good, you know? And they were like, no, you aren't. Because the truth is this about fellowship. We need the input of others to see all dimensions of our world and ourselves. You know, it helps us to see that. And increasing our awareness is a huge part of fellowship with a father. Every kid knows this. We can't help ourselves because sharing guidance and wisdom and insight is what dads are all about, whether you want it or not. I'm going to tell you how I think you should live your life. But that comes from the reality that from the moment that we're born, dad had to teach us how to stay alive, right? Without your parents, you're toast. You're toast, but they teach you. They need to show you and share. The only problem is we don't like hearing hard truths about being wrong. Boo to that. We just want you to give me the good stuff. Tell me how great I am. So no wonder we weren't real excited for God's illuminating input that came with Jesus. Remember? The true light that gives light to everyone, illuminates everything, lets you know everything about yourself, was coming into the world, but his own did not receive him. No thank you. Because they did not want to hear it from dad anymore. I don't want to just tell me nice things yet. To all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God as the Father. We generally prefer the input of others to be complimentary, don't we? Tell me how great I am. My favorite thing about other people is how much they like me. That's what's just natural, right? We just want them to be complimentary. But a father's fellowship includes what we need to hear, not just what we want to hear. It's a thankless job sometimes. And it's tough, but that goes for God too. He wants to give us what we need to hear, because even if it stings with what it shows us, well, number three, fellowship is validating. It's supposed to be. It's validating because fellowship affirms our identity, tells us who we are, confirms it. Through the illuminating accounts of others telling you how great or not great your haircut is, right, we start to see the true substance in ourselves and in our experiences. And when we hear how others express their experiences, fellowship shows us who we are by teaching us where we belong. You just really get to triangulate your position, you know? And as true as that is, in all the various social settings that you find yourself in, nothing validates us like family. Oh, it's so true, right? It lets you know that you're not the only weird one out there. Like, I come from a family of weirdos. Relating to relatives is what makes us make sense. You're the reason why I am the way that I am. And in every father that you see, you know, again, for good or bad, every father, seeing the source of our substance gives us a sense of acceptance. It just makes sense. And for some reason, you need that. It validates it. I was at my dad's the other day, and I just happened to notice that we buy the same hot sauces. And you know what? It just made me feel like I was doing something right. You know? It doesn't matter, but I was like, he gets it, we get it, Valentino's, right? That's just the right hot sauce. And it felt good, you know? And since God sent Jesus to show us our Heavenly Father's substance, well, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Because when we accept others as family, we show that we share our Father's substance because we're acting like his kids. And as that grows our confidence in our character of who we are, and we are all illuminated and we understand who we're supposed to be, well, it gives us guardrails at the same time because, well, number four, fellowship is regulating. All right, this one's the hard one. This is, again, kind of like the friends who tell you that your haircut's no good. Because fellowship keeps us accountable. It's only after, you know, that point where we find our fit, right? When we find where we belong, well, it's incredibly important that we stay there. This is where we belong. And it takes ongoing input to maintain our ongoing identity. You got to hear it, right? You know, it's the same reason why we have it in the church. You're not really acting like a Christian with that decision. You know, we try to help each other out. And so fellowship provides a system of feedback where we can keep tabs on our progress toward the person that we want to be. Problem is, it can be a little rough. Remember this one? Everybody knows this one. We love to say this one, and I think we say it wrong too often. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, right? That just sounds nice and encouraging. I just back it up for a second, okay? You don't sharpen a knife with another knife of the exact same type and just go, look at us, we're both sharp, aren't we great? No. You use something with a little difference in it something that's not the same as you so that you can create friction, because that's what sharpens things. And as nice as it is to feel the fellowship of those with a shared substance, nothing focuses us on who we are like seeing who we aren't. This is why I spend so much time at Walmart just to check out who I am not. I kid. A little bit. But it's good, because you want to. You see that. It reveals so much when you see who you're not. And even though we share our core substance with our fathers, hey, you know, we're cut from the same cloth, look, that's who I am. It's different. And there's some friction, and it's the friction from those differences that remind us we're kids, not clones. You know, I am my father's son, but I'm not just like him. I'm still my own man. And good fathers expect a little friction because they want to love their kids as individuals apart from themselves, right? They don't just want a clone. That's just loving themselves. They like to see that. I've always told my boys the same thing. I can't wait till they're adults so that I can hang out as just a couple of dudes instead of dependents. You know, I like the idea of seeing them as their own person. And we finally got there. It's not as great as I thought. I kid again. No, they're wonderful. They'll finish growing up one of these days soon and stop being dependent, but they're at my house right now. Okay, so it's the same for our Heavenly Father, though, right? The difficulties of our differences are worth it. You know, they're by design because, number five, fellowship is integrating. That's one of the great things that it does. It's integrating. It brings things together because fellowship builds a bigger body. It's what it's designed to do, and nothing gets bigger without a few growing pains. You just got to accept that. Fellowship doesn't just connect us, it changes us, right? As we express our relationships by sharing our experiences, our identity grows beyond the individual, and we develop dimensions of ourselves that are only seen in the community. Right? It's, you know, it's the Bobby Rocconello again. It's the way that it takes old Bobby Rocconello to bring, you know, certain pieces of a person out, you know, the adventurous part of you or whatever. You have those friends. Fellowship doesn't just strengthen the community. It grows each member. You know, there's some things that you just do with certain people that just, this is the new Noah, right? And it's whether you nerd out with your physicist friends, you know, maybe you got some of those people and you just get to talk real smart with them, or maybe it's the you that talks smack with your fantasy football league, right, when you're around those guys. Or maybe it's the ones who do devotionals with your prayer group. Whatever it is, whatever's brought out of you by those communities, the more that you find ways to fit into community, the more you become you. The full you, the unique you. And when it comes to the father, or to fathers, a big part of fellowship is pushing kids to go join other communities. Get out of the house, right? Go join something. Go do things with others. Go play. Go find a job. Go get married. Become somebody else's problem, right? That's a big part of what fathers do. They say, go join community. That'll be best for you because we know, dads know that their kids belong in something bigger. And that is 100% true of our Heavenly Father. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, right? One big body that we get to live out. And when we form a new body, we also get to live a new life. Because number six, fellowship is generating. It's generating things because fellowship creates new character. After we integrate, right, and we grow ourselves as part of a community, all these new dimensions of who I am when I'm hanging out with these people, it actually makes a new version of you that didn't exist. When we do things, when we take up, when dad says, get out of the house and go live your life, you do. You do some stuff. When you do things like start careers, or you get married, or you have kids, and every time you do stuff like that, well, you bring a brand new boss, or a husband, or a father into the world, right? That's the new, there was not one yesterday, and now you've just created a new one. And we get to live that new life based on the fellowship. And so because of the fellowship that I've chosen, for better or worse, I have gotten to live many glamorous lives, incredible things, such as Noah, the tortured musician. He was lots of fun. And then, there was Noah, the urine specimen collector. Great guy. And Noah, the guy in a van in Malibu. He was lazy. He was no good. But I've had all of those different experiences based on who I'm hanging out with and what I'm doing. And yet, even though they all did have some value, there's no new Noah that can compare with the very first one, which was Noah the son. It's the foundation, right? It's the foundation of all other Noahs, the first one, because kids can't exist without a father's fellowship. It's what defines me. It's what defined me. It's what defined all of us, is where we came from. And the crazy thing is this: only God can offer that foundational, defining fellowship a second time. Because remember the verse that we already read? Yet to all who did receive him, aka who joined in his expression of our relationship, he says, I'll be your father if you want to be my child. Well, he gave the right to become children of God. You can do that again. We can do that whole born again. You're a brand new son, Noah. So of course he calls himself our father, because only God's fellowship can create something so new, a new identity so true, it's like we've been actually born again to live an actually brand new life as God's kid, totally different. And that is the ultimate example of how number seven, fellowship is liberating, because fellowship frees us from our flesh. As we grow and change according to how we choose to share ourselves with others, right? We're just having that fellowship. We're not just changed into something new. We're actually separated from everything old, right? That's the whole idea of being made holy. It's what that word means, you know, come out of that, leave it behind. And it's a huge relief to realize that just choosing our fellowship means choosing whatever life we want to lead, right? I think it was a month or two ago we were talking about that, where they said, you know, it's just the five people that you hang out with are going to determine your entire future more than anything else. That's crazy. Since relationships are mandatory and fellowship is optional, we are in charge of which people get to know us and therefore grow us, which means I am free to leave this church right now today and hang out exclusively with jugglers and acrobats and daredevils if I think that the circus life is the life for me. And it might be, guys. I'm not sure. I think I'd fit in pretty good.
Bearded lady.
Wow.
We'll just cut point here, edit that out, and here we go. Okay. Yes. You could have said strong man just as easily, but it had to be bearded lady. Okay. I get it. Thank you. She gets it in the back. All right. The truth is this, okay? I'm not joining the circus, good news or bad news, however you see that. It's not going to happen, because to find out who we are, we have to leave who we were. It's just part of it. And both good dads and our Heavenly Father encourage kids to freely explore their options for fellowship, because they know the fundamentals of other relationships may stay the same, right? They're the same basic things, but there is something special about what they shared. The way that a father does it, there's something that is just different about it. So what is it? What did we learn in looking through these seven? What does fellowship with the Father look like that's so different? And the answer is this: it looks very similar, right? It's a lot like the earthly dads when they're at their best, you know, like when our dads are like just nailing it. It's very similar to that. It's just like all other fellowship, because it is activating. It is illuminating, it is validating, it is regulating, it is integrating, it is generating, and it is liberating. All of those same things. But the only difference is something forces dads to do it in a specific way. Something in fathers compels them to have to express every dimension of their relationship. They just can't leave it alone. Any guesses on what that is? Yeah, because we all feel this one, right? It's love. It is love. Love is what forces every good dad to do the relationships right. It's what keeps you focused on. It's what makes it so that you can't just walk away. You can't do it. It's what makes this conflict inside you to say, I feel compelled, responsible for, I need to take care of this thing. Because it's the substance in all of us that we share with our Heavenly Father that reveals deep down at our core, we all want what's best for others. We do. We can pretend it's not true, but it is so true. Even if the ways of this world have distracted and disabled some dads, because we're not all perfect, right? The truth is, every person on this planet has the instinct to love one another. You're forced into this fellowship because when you do see that baby, you know that you have to do something about it. It's not easy to not do anything. And that's because you were built to love. And although that selfless fellowship, right, the idea of not having to care, or the selfless fellowship can feel inconvenient on earth, like having to take care of someone, that's just not good news, right? It's going to be in the way of a lot of things. It's not convenient on earth, but it is critical to understanding who it is that we actually are. That God gave us. He needed us to know that so bad that God gave us our own kids to force us to confront that feeling. He said, you are made out of love. You come from love because I, God, am your Father and I am love. And if you don't know about it, well, you just have a kid and you'll see. Because he wants us to know that we do have a dad who doesn't just have to share his love. He wants to. He wants us to know a loving dad means all the stress and friction and confusion and pain and change that's going on down here in his fellowship through our relationship expressed with him is always aimed at our best. It's on purpose because he loves us. And he wants us to know when we finally accept that truth that the real you just chose to be born into his real fellowship as the real child of a real father. Because right there, at that point, that's when you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray about it. Father God, we love you. We love you as our Father, and we thank you for showing us our substance by sharing the love that we're made of. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you lead us to listen to, learn about, and live out your unique fellowship in all of our relationships. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for demonstrating the real life that waits for all of us kids who just choose to accept and express our true identity. And to that, everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.